told my 17-year-old self who I was going to be and what I was going to be doing when I was 33, I would have laughed at you in the face. A religiously devout, hijab-clad Muslim activist? Yeah, right. If you'd known me at 17, you'd understand why that was funny. There are several people who share my identity and my background and my experience, but few people are talking about it. My identity is that of a born-again Muslim. Around my junior year in high school, I faced some of those major existential questions that many youth face. It was around 1996, and I was, you know, very active in what I was doing in school and extracurricular activities, but I had this nagging at me that I really needed to search about my religious identity primarily. I came from a secular upbringing. My father was an immigrant Egyptian who came to the States and married my mother, who was a white American, and she later converted to Islam. But my religious identity was much more culturally based as opposed to religiously based. And so that kind of created some conflicts in my later years because I didn't have that religious foundation of practice. I didn't know how to go about practicing. I didn't have the knowledge. And to make matters worse, my father, who was, you know, the source of the Islamic knowledge in our house, he passed away when I was 11. So that created another conflict that I had to overcome. Back to my high school years, in my senior year, I remember a conversation that I was having with my friends. The majority of my friends were Christian and none of them were Muslim. And it was one of those conversations that goes into the wee hours of the morning and it matters in later years in life, like you think about it and you ponder on it. It was one of those deep conversations, and I remember secluding myself afterwards. It was on the topic of religion and particularly salvation. You can imagine with a group of devout Christian friends how that kind of went down. So I secluded myself in my friend's house and was asking myself, what did I believe? And I even uttered the words, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wanted to see what it felt like. I wanted to see how that sounded. I wanted to see if angels would come down from the heavens and light and choir and, you know, the whole night. Nothing happened. So needless to say, as soon as I said it, I rejected it, alhamdulillah. But I didn't go on to practice after that. I still was without this identity that I was looking for. So I left Christianity behind and kept searching and kept searching. The end of my senior year was a really transformational moment for me. I went to visit my cousin who was getting married, and this was a practicing Muslim family. I was really excited because I really hadn't been around practicing Muslims, so I wanted to see, you know, what did they do? What did they, you know, espouse and believe, and how were their actions? And it was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life, and I truly felt like I was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be there at that moment in my existence. And I left knowing, without studying fiqh, without studying Quran, without studying anything, in a weekend, I knew I'd be Muslim for the rest of my life because of those Muslims. Alhamdulillah. However, it wasn't until several years down the road that I actually started going after practicing the deen. In 2004, I went back to school at UTA to get my undergrad degree in interdisciplinary studies. I met what would then be my Muslim family. They're my girlfriends who I have maintained to this day, and they've been a source of knowledge and guidance for me, and also deep friendship and sisterhood. That time, I started actually practicing the faith. But what I found was that I didn't have any kind of infrastructure to help me on my path. Most people expected me to already know. Most people expected that I knew how to pray. They expected that I knew how to read Quran. They expected that I knew how to get my knowledge and where to go to and what madhab that I follow. I had no clue what a madhab was, let alone what I should be doing. And so it was a great source of embarrassment, a source of struggle, and in later years it became something where I had a gap in my knowledge that caused a crisis in faith. But I'll get to that in a moment. I was very zealous and very conservative, and I only had this one way of understanding the deen. I only had this very narrow approach where there was no room for diversity of thought and no room for questioning or understanding further. It was either you believe this or you don't believe it and you're not a Muslim. And that was the experience that I had. And it was unfortunate because it backfired. And I ended up pushing my family away and pushing my sister, who actually did convert to Christianity. And we had some really knockdown, drag out, arguments that I handled inappropriately because I didn't have that framework from which to understand how I should act as a Muslim. So moving forward, it was a long road that has led me to where I am today, to where I'm comfortable in my own skin as a Muslim and not facing any kind of crisis or any kind of problems with my faith as I once did. And so that, I'm very grateful, but that road, I don't want other people to have to go down. I want other people to be able to have access, who are like me, who have this experience, to be able to come into the deen in a way that doesn't make them feel like they have to give up who they are at their core, but allows them to come safely and comfortably into the religion and find out what kind of Muslim they are, what do they believe, how do they go about approaching it, and gain the beautiful adab that comes along and the beautiful knowledge that we get to learn without having to fight tooth and nail for it. Very briefly, I will introduce the concept of a born-again Muslim and put forward the following questions and some answers. Now the concept, or the term born again Muslim is, or born again is often identified with the Christian tradition, but I felt it was appropriate in this sense because you have the same sort of experience of recommitting to your born faith. And so I use that term born again Muslim to identify myself. What is a born again Muslim? Is what we're going to talk about. Why do they exist? Excuse me. What challenges do they face, and why should we care about it? So what's a born-again Muslim? The term born-again, like I said, is often identified with the Christian tradition, but in this sense we'll pose it to us in the Muslim faith tradition that are like me. They come with some semblance of a Muslim identity because of their parentage or their familial upbringing of some sort. So they come to the religion with, they have an identity of sorts. They know that they're Muslim, but they may not have any knowledge at all. They may have a little bit, but a lot of people don't have very much at all knowledge. Or they could be born to an offshoot or sect of Islam, and then they come to mainstream Islam later on in life and realize that that's the path that they want to go down towards. And so they have this gap of learning that they have to come to, deal with. Why do they exist? The parents themselves had little knowledge. Maybe they too had a culturally, biased upbringing in Islam. Or the parents specifically didn't pass on this information. Maybe they did have a lot of knowledge, but they themselves were considered quite liberal or very lax in their beliefs and didn't feel the need to pass it on. But then the children, because of their identity, came back to the path of Islam and needed to learn. What challenges do they face? Often they face some of the same exact challenges that Christian or Jewish or any other religion revert experiences when they come to the deen. And this is a point of real neglect in our community because the Muslims who are born into Islam often face a kind of prejudice, a kind of, exclusion from this group of reverts. I often found myself wanting to go to revert classes, wanting to go to revert social gatherings. They all had the similar experience that I had, and we could share war stories and, how we got our battle wounds. But I was excluded from those events because you were born into Islam. So I didn't get to take part in that. But they face a lot of the same unwelcoming environments in some of our masajid, unfortunately. And even family rejection. When I started wearing hijab, my own uncle started screaming at me. And I thought he was going to be on my side. Here I have to face my mother's Christian family, who of course doesn't agree with it. But then I've got my Muslim family too who's rejecting me. What am I supposed to do here? So you face a lot of the same struggles. Expectations that they should know certain things and no one to identify with. These are real problems that we should pay attention to. Why should we care? Every Muslim, regardless of their path to the deen, deserves a way to come in that's safe and that's holistic and that's catering to them and their needs. We need to be paying attention to those things. And then finally, Muslims around the world are in varying degrees of practice, and the majority don't. The majority don't practice in the way that I would argue most of us in here understand a practicing Muslim to be. Most of them don't. And what does that say? So we're always counting our 1.6 billion Muslims. Yeah, but how many of them are actually practicing? Our 2 to 5 million Muslims here in the States. Is that, maybe 500,000 actually practicing. Who knows what the numbers are. But I would argue that we focus so much on da'wah, we focus so much on da'wah to non-Muslims, that we forget about our existing Muslims who have no clue about the religion. So we really need to do some work in that regard. Taking this brief introduction of a topic, I mean, it's barely skimming, you know, what we can discuss in this area. But I ask you to ponder the significance and what we can do to address the issue further. And a key word that I would like you to leave you with today is intrafaith. Thank you.